time that we're in church, every time that we're in His presence, it's another chance to worship and exalt and magnify that name of Jesus. There is no other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved. There's just something beautiful about the name of Jesus. Just the whisper of His name can bring peace to a troubled heart. Just the whisper of His name can bring healing to a sick body. Jesus is here tonight, and He's here. The Bible says He inhabits the praises of His people. So why don't we just lift our hands one more time and just love the Lord and just worship the Lord and just praise Him tonight. In Jesus' name, we worship You, Jesus. And we thank You, Jesus, for Your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Precious Jesus, amen. Let's look together tonight in the Word of God in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. And I would ask you tonight, how many of us here tonight have some kind of worry, some kind of fear, some kind of concern, something that bothers us, something that just stays in the back of our mind and it tries to rob us of our victory and it just won't let go? But Jesus is bigger than any problem that we have. I'd like to talk tonight about a serpent, a python, and a dragon. Genesis chapter 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God hath made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, You shall not eat of every tree in the garden? Let's just pray together tonight, Lord, that You would touch our hearts, that You would touch our minds, that You would let us feel Your presence, Your nearness. And Lord, that You would let us feel something special tonight. And Lord, every heart that has come into this place with some kind of a fear, some kind of a doubt, some kind of a trouble, some kind of a concern, Lord, that You would speak to our hearts tonight, that we could leave this place with a special peace that will last through the coming days. And Lord, to realize that You are bigger than any problem, any situation that we have. And Lord, that You would shine Your light upon us tonight and let us feel a presence, Your love, Your mercy, Your kindness, and Your peace. Lord, in Jesus' name tonight, we rebuke every fear. In Jesus' name tonight, we rebuke every problem. In Jesus' name tonight, we rebuke every doubt. In Jesus' name tonight, we rebuke every fear and every heartache, every worry. And Lord, we lift up our hands to You, and we worship You tonight, and we praise You tonight. In Jesus' name. You can be seated tonight. A serpent, a python, and a dragon. When we read about the devil in Genesis, he's just a little serpent, just a little tiny thing. And he comes and he attacks, but he attacks with words. But snakes are scary. And it doesn't matter how small they are, they're scary. And even when they get bigger and bigger and bigger, they're even more scary. I remember years ago, my dear mother, sitting in church, South Louisiana. It's springtime. Pastor was teaching, and it's one of those services where everybody's quiet. It's one of those services where nobody was saying amen. Sunday morning, everybody's kind of tired. They're not awake yet. And the pastor was teaching, and all of a sudden, my mom looks down. It's springtime. So at her feet, she sees one of these little, tiny, green, springtime garden snakes. And she's terrified of snakes. You know, when I was young and mischievous, I could go to her with a book and say, look at this picture, Mom. And so here at her feet, a little tiny thing. And she tries so hard to scream. She's so terrified. She can't scream. But then all of a sudden, she gets herself together, and she lets out that Apache war yell, blood-curdling scream, and all of a sudden, all the church says, oh, my goodness, sister's getting a blessing. Let's worship the Lord with our sister. and the church comes alive. What was a dull, dead, ordinary service turned into a shouting, dancing time, all because of a little tiny snake. But normally snakes are scary. And some of the women here, maybe you're scared of little tiny snakes or big snakes. But in the garden, the snakes come to Eve and they attack her with words. Have we ever in our lives been attacked with words? People hurt our feelings. People say things. We say things that we regret. And so here comes Satan. He attacks with his mouth. Criticisms, deceits, hateful words, all of those things come against us. That's how the devil attacks at the first. Just a little tiny snake, but the pain and the heartache that he can cause in our hearts. Just a few words can bother us so much. Somebody can say one word to us and it can mess up our whole day. Words. I remember once a long time ago, some mischievous guys in Bible college, they decided they wanted to check the power of words. So there's different kids in the Bible college. There's some that's all excited, and there's just some that are always depressed and worried. So they went to one young lady that she was, you know, normally the type who was always worried about something. And one of the boys went up to her and said, "You look a little pale today. Are you feeling okay?" She said, "Yeah, I'm okay." 20 minutes later, one of the other guys, "You know, you look a little sick today. Are you sure you're all right?" "Yeah, I'm okay." And then 30 minutes later, one of the other guys come to her and, "Oh, you look so bad. Are you okay? Are you feeling bad?" She said, "You know, I feel terrible. I've got to go back to..." Words. Words can do so much destruction, so much power. I remember once we were backing out of the driveway. I'm not going to say who it was who was driving, but it wasn't me, and it wasn't my wife, and it wasn't my son. I'm not going to say who it is. And we were backing out of the driveway, and we heard this big, loud thump. And so the driver, I won't say who it was, gets out, goes and looks, and comes back in the car, and she says, "Daddy, it's just a little tiny scratch." Think about it. Words. And so Daddy gets out, and the whole side of the car is smashed in. You know, no, I'm just kidding. But it was a good dent. It wasn't a scratch. Words. Words mean different things. But the devil comes against us, and he attacks us with words. Psalm 109 says, "For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They have compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause." But when the devil comes against us with words, when people come against us with words, the Bible says the Lord has a secret pavilion where he can hide us from lying tongues. When the devil comes against us, putting things into our mind, when people are used of the devil and comes against us, there's a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous can run to it and they can be safe. There's a secret pavilion that the Lord has that he can take care of us and he can be with us. The devil comes against us with lies, with false doctrine, casting doubts. Oh, the devil says, "Oh, you surely will not die." Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it." The devil comes against us with words. But we've got to remember, we've got the Lord that we can turn to in a time of trouble. We can find a place where we're just by ourselves, and it doesn't matter how bad we feel. It doesn't matter how overwhelmed we are. The Bible says, "When my heart is overwhelmed, I will look to the rock that is higher than me." We can turn to the name of Jesus. We can call on the name of Jesus. We can begin to worship him and love him, and the doubts and the fears and the failures and the worries will begin to fade away. Satan comes into the garden walking, but he leaves crawling. Leaves on his belly thou shalt go, and thus shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The Lord is always going to have the victory for his people. He's always going to take care of us. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When we're hearing his word, that's when we're going to have the faith to fight the devil. When Satan came against Jesus, Jesus said, "It is written." The only way we can fight him is with the word of God. That's the only thing we have. 1 Corinthians says there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. But Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." He can come against us. He can get us discouraged. He can get us worried. He can do anything he wants against us, but the victory is ours if we will keep our eyes focused on Jesus, if we will turn our eyes upon him and look into his wonderful face and worship him and keep our eyes on Jesus. Peter began to sink when he started looking at the waves. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he was doing good. But when he looked at the waves, that's when everything went wrong. There's always going to be storms around us. There are always going to be waves around us. There's always going to be troubles around us. But we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And the devil gets bigger. We look in Acts chapter 16. First he starts out as a serpent. Now he's a python. Acts chapter 16:6, "And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain Daniel, possessed with a spirit of divination," and when you look up the word divination in the original language, it says python, "met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying." A spirit of python. What is a python? Well, you think it's a big snake, 2 or 3 or 4 car lengths long, about as wide across as a telephone post, and it comes and it attacks. Now the devil's not a little serpent anymore. He's a python, big and huge and scary. And it says, "For many days the damsel follows with her words, mocking." So with us, with worries and cares and trouble, that's how it is with us. She followed for many days. Have you ever been through a trial that lasted and lasted and lasted, and it just seemed like it would never end? Sometimes the devil comes against us in that kind of way, like a python. What does a python do to kill its prey? It wraps itself around him, and it starts squeezing. Have you ever been so worried about something? You just felt so squeezed and so worried, and sometimes your heart started beating fast, and it's almost like you couldn't breathe because you were so overcome with fear and worries and concern. That's how the python comes against us. That's how it comes against us. But Psalm says, "From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." When the snake comes against us, when the python comes against us, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus. And then in the very end, Revelation 12:9, a dragon. Satan's not a snake anymore. He's not a python. Now he's grown into a dragon. Revelation 12:9, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." He starts out as a little snake, attacking with words, and then he becomes a big python and tries to squeeze the joy of the Lord out of us. And now in the very end, in the last days, he's a dragon. And you think about a dragon. What is a dragon? It's huge. It's scary. Big claws. A long tail. Tough skin. Breathing fire. A dragon is probably one of the most scary things. But you see, the thing about the dragon that we've got to remember is it's only make-believe. There is no such thing as a dragon. It's all in our mind. It's a mythical creature. It doesn't exist. It's not real. It's just a figment of the imagination. There is no dragon. And sometimes the devil comes against us and he likes to take things and make them seem so big and so terrible. and so terrifying and so impossible and so hopeless, he uses our imagination and we just start thinking of things and we think, what if? And what about this? And what about that? And we think, this is going to happen. And that's going to happen. And then we just start getting overwhelmed. But we've got to remember, the dragon doesn't even exist. Isaiah said there's going to come a time when people are going to stand and they're going to look at Satan. And they're going to look at him and they're going to say, is this the man? Is it this? They're going to say, is that all it was all along that troubled the nation? The devil likes to come against us and make things look big and impossible and terrible. It doesn't matter how big our problem is. It doesn't matter how real our problem is. Jesus is bigger than anything that can come against us. Isaiah said, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. The Lord is going to be with us. He's going to take care of us. I remember years ago, I worked at a bank in South Texas, and I remember one morning when one of the vice presidents of the bank came in, and she was weeping and wailing and blubbering, a very dignified, refined lady, and she came in and she was bent over, and she was holding on to her back, and she was holding on to her head, and she said, I almost got killed this morning. She said, somebody ran through a stop sign and they totally smashed my car and I almost got killed. And everybody was thinking, oh, this is horrible. It's terrible. This poor lady. And she went on all day long. And she said, my car is destroyed. She said, I can't drive an old wrecked up car. I don't have a car anymore. I don't know what I'm going to do. Well, she was a millionaire. But she said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a car. I can't drive an old wrecked car. And then she held her neck and she held her back. She said, I almost got killed. And all day long. And she had her office door open. And anybody who passed in front of her office door, she would run out and pull them into her office. And she told them the whole terrible story again. I almost got killed. They went through a stop sign. They totally destroyed and smashed in my car. And she would say, I can't drive an old wrecked up car. And she would hold her head again and hold her back again. It was horrible. And come lunchtime, I thought, I've got to go and see her car. How did she get to work if she couldn't drive her car? And I knew the car that she had. It was a 20-year-old Cadillac. Probably had 2,000 miles on it. She had it washed and waxed at least once a week. Beautiful. Once or twice they sent me on an errand. I got to drive it. Beautiful car. So I knew where she parked. And I knew which car was hers. So I thought, this is terrible. This poor lady almost got killed. And she's holding her back. And she's holding her head. And just terrible. And I thought, I've got to go and see that old wrecked up car. And I went outside. And I was facing the car and I was thinking, well, the front looks really good. And I thought, she almost got killed. Maybe she got hit on the driver's side. And so I walked on the driver's side, nice and shiny, beautiful Cadillac, one of those long ones from back years ago. And I thought, well, maybe they hit her from the rear. And so I walked around the black, beautiful. Nice, shiny. And I thought, okay, they smashed in the passenger side. And I walked around. And I looked at the passenger side. And I know I've got the right car because I know where she parks. I've driven it. And I look at the passenger side. Beautiful, shiny. And I'm thinking, all day long, she was weeping and wailing and screaming and hollering and she was holding her neck and she was holding her back and she said she almost got killed and she was going on and on, I can't drive an old wrecked up car. And I keep looking and looking and looking and finally I make my way to the front and behind the headlight there's a scratch about 3 inches long. And I'm thinking, all of that noise and all of that screaming and hollering, and it's just a scratch. And she said, I can't drive an old wrecked up car. I'd take it. If she'd have seen our cars in Mexico that we had, she'd know what an old wrecked up car was. But the devil's like that. He likes to come against us and get us all worked up and all upset, when all the time there is no such thing as a dragon. It's just all up in our minds. Because Jesus is bigger than any problem that we have. Jesus is bigger than any situation that we have. 2 Corinthians 10:5. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. There are no dragons. The presence of God is in our minds. Mighty through God. Mighty. Jesus died on Golgotha. And in our language, the place of the skull. He didn't just die for our sins, but He died for our minds as well. He died for our minds as well. He died for that. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He wants to give us a sound mind. It's not His will that we live in fear every day. It's not His will that we worry about the serpents. It's not the Lord's will that we get taken by the python and they try to come and squeeze the joy of the Lord and His presence out of us. It's not His will that we have our eyes upon the dragons of this world, the things that come against us. Because He came to cast down imaginations. And He came to bring our thoughts in line with His will and His word. Just stand together for a moment and just think about your life. Think about your fears. Think about your worries. Think about the things that come against you. Just stand together for a moment and let's just close our eyes. Jeremiah said, for the hurt of the daughter of my people, I am hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. And then he said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? The prophet looked over the city that was in ruins and destroyed, and all the beautiful things were there. And the prophet is crying, saying, is there no way that my people can be healed? He said, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no healing power? So many worries, and so many fears, and so many doubts, and so many uncertainties come against us. But tonight there's a balm of Gilead that's in this place. He wants to touch our minds. He wants to touch our hearts. He wants to alleviate our fears. He wants to bring our thoughts into submission. He wants to cast down the imaginations that would come against us. If you're here tonight and you've been worried and you've been fearful, it doesn't matter how real your problems are. There are some real, hurtful, painful problems in this world. But Jesus is bigger than any problem. He's bigger than any heartache. He's bigger than any sickness. He's bigger than any financial problem. He's here tonight. He's here tonight. Do you need a healing in your mind tonight? Do you need the Lord to take away the fears? Do you need the Lord to take away the worries? Why don't we all just come for a moment and let's just gather around and let's just lift up our hands and let's just pray one for another tonight that the Lord would wipe away these fears, that He would wipe away these heartaches, that He would wipe away these things that have us bound. Jesus is bigger than anything that could come against us. And He's here tonight to touch our hearts. He's here tonight to touch our minds. And He's here tonight to let us feel His presence like we've never felt it before.